Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Steve Kathan. The war in Ukraine, China, and the environment are top issues as President Biden meets with French President Emmanuel Macron at the White House.
Stalwart friends in times of triumph and of trial, France and the United States will meet the future just as we always have, confident in our shared capacity, sustained by the strength of our shared values, and undaunted by any challenge that lies ahead.
The two men are due to hold a news conference soon. In Ukraine, the city of Kherson, liberated last month from Russian forces, now has no power after a new round of infrastructure attacks. Attention is turned to the Senate a day after the House passed a measure designed to stop any potential rail strike. CBS's Scott McFarlane on Capitol Hill.
They need 60 votes, and North Carolina Republican Senator Tom Tillis told me he's trying to count votes, but hasn't counted 60 on this bill. Same is true for Delaware. Democrat Chris Coons, who says it's sometimes difficult to get everybody in lockstep, even when there's an urgent deadline.
At Hawaii's erupting Mauna Loa volcano, CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti says people who want a good look at the action have been jamming a major highway,
creating a worrisome scenario for officials.
Thousands of residents and visitors that are flocking to the DKI and the eruption site to view this current Mauna Loa eruption. It's creating a safety hazard.
Although the flow is slow moving, it's still persistent, and emergency managers are ramping up their planning as it threatens to cross over this same highway.
Well, the college football playoff says the field for the national title game will expand from 4 to 12 in the 2024 season. In a statement, President Biden says there are initial signs there's, quote, progress in tackling inflation after new reports on prices and spending. Bankrate.com's Mark Hamrick on the employment picture.
The latest read on new jobless claims shows a big week-over-week decline, and it erases much of the previous week's spike in new claims, which are a proxy for layoffs. Seasonally adjusted new applications for unemployment benefits dropped 16,000 to 225,000.
In Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, a 51-year-old man turned himself into police. Earlier, he drove off from a casino after allegedly biting off the nose of a man he argued with in the parking lot over a golf game. The other man was hospitalized. Wall Street, right now the Dow is down about 207 points. The S&P is down 3. This is CBS News.
Facet Wealth is an SEC-registered investment advisor. They offer customized financial planning for you, not just your assets. Learn more by calling 888-598-3966.
Do you know what people see when they Google you? Search engines don't always get it right. And when they're wrong, it's your reputation on the line. So what do you do when you don't agree with your search results? Call Reputation Defender at 800-401-6681. Reputation Defender by Norton is one of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. We have over a decade of experience in fixing people's search results, and we can help you too. Using cutting-edge approaches, Reputation Defender pushes unflattering information down to lower pages of your search results, where few people ever look. We also promote the good stuff so that it rises to the top, letting you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. You owe it to yourself to take control with Reputation Defender. Visit www.reputationdefender.com or call 800-401-6681 for free advice on your situation. 800-401-6681. That's 800-401-6681.
Congratulations to the winners of the New Year's Day Green Bay Giveaway. The following individuals won a $50 gift card from the participating sponsors: Petra Inderdahl of Scandinavia from La Taqueria, Dave Colby of Wisconsin Rapids from Jennings & Company, Ken Hilgers of Nakusa from Piggly Wiggly, and Brenda Piotrowski of Adams from Hoozles at the Lakes. And the grand prize winner of two club tickets to the New Year's Day game, Dave Colby. WFHR and WIRI would like to thank all who participated, and especially our sponsors. Have a happy holiday season from Civic Media and locally grown radio.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. On Friday, December 2nd, in Wood County, the Judicial and Legislative Committee will meet at 9 a.m. in Room 114 at the courthouse. Governor Evers is planning to deliver his annual State of the State address on February 7th. He has asked GOP legislative leaders to keep February 28th or March 7th open for his budget address, but a spokesperson for the GOP stated in a text to WisPolitics.com they will consider the governor's request, but those dates probably won't work. UW-Stevens Point is opening a C2 makerspace at their Marshfield campus, where they will hold extracurricular activities for grades 5 to 12. They hope this will introduce students to a new world of technologies and possible future career goals. Activities will include tech related to robotics, 3D printing, drone work, and much more. UW plans to build off these workshops with school kids and eventually expand to workshops for adults as well. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Highs level off around 31 this afternoon under mainly sunny skies. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies. Tonight, lows around 26. Daytime highs approaching 43. Tomorrow, cloudy skies. Sunny skies Saturday with daytime highs approaching 20. 33 Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 26.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. We are in our final hour. Thank you for listening. Wherever you are, in any of the states, in any of the cities that we air in, all across the Civic Media Network, on the app, on the podcast, we're happy that you're here. It's December.
It is.
This year has gone by really quickly.
Well, you had a whole bunch of things going on this
year. I did. But yes, this year was very fast. Lots of things happened. The holidays are here, which is very exciting. It is the happiest time of the year, some would say. Maybe not everyone agrees with that. But I will say one thing that makes me very happy is Christmas lights.
I agree.
And it's one of those, I think when I started the week and I said one of the things I learned on vacation is variation is important. Because I do catch myself on, as soon as the Christmas lights go up around any city, everything just looks prettier. And there's always a part of me that says, well, why can't we just have these up all year round? Not necessarily the distinctive, you know, Santa Claus is everywhere.
And the red and green and all that stuff.
Yeah, but like the pretty white lights. And it's like, well, maybe if they were up all year round, I wouldn't appreciate them as much. But right now, for this month, driving by the lights, driving by the decorations makes me very happy.
I agree with you. And I suggested years ago that when we take down our lights, perhaps in March, wouldn't it be nice to have some like light up daffodils or something, or light up tulips,
yeah,
some light
up
early flowers of spring, you know, you kind of get that going, because it does seem really dull when everybody turns them all off and then we have to wade through February and March.
And especially in this state, because the worst months of winter are basically once all the Christmas lights are gone. And so it's just like brown, sludgy snow.
Yeah.
It's still 5 degrees outside. Everyone just wants spring to come. And we don't have any decorations to at least bring a smile to our face. But
that'll be our side hustle, Kristen.
Exactly. So, you know, we love a good national holiday, national observance. And there is plenty today. One of which is, it's National Christmas Lights Day. So we want to hear from you on what are the must-not-miss Christmas light display, holiday display spectacles in your part of Wisconsin.
And it might just be a particular house that really goes
totally
all out.
One house that you love, one park that really goes out, like does it big. We want to hear where is the, what in your town is just lights up, excuse the pun, for the holidays, 844-967-2789. But it's also National Peppermint Bark Day.
Who knew?
Well, you do now. But it was kind of interesting. Williams-Sonoma. I did not realize the connection of Williams-Sonoma, the retail store.
The fancy cookware store.
The fancy cookware store. So this is the history of, I guess, kind of like peppermint bark in general, but specifically why it became a thing. So in 1998, Williams-Sonoma debuted the, all caps, the original peppermint bark, trademarked, which is now often copied, but never matches in quality or flavor. I say this, I had peppermint bark at my wedding. I don't know if you remember that.
I don't.
Crafted in small batches with no added artificial flavor or color, this top quality bark, you know, bark, is made with custom blend of chocolate and triple distilled peppermint oil. And Williams-Sonoma spends 12 weeks every year making peppermint bark just for the holidays. They add it to their cookware responsibilities, but this is a thing for them. And it took more than 20 rounds of testing to settle on the final perfect recipe for their peppermint bark. And it takes more than 24 hours to make a batch from start to finish.
Wow.
And today, 18 products bear the peppermint bark name at Williams-Sonoma.
And this is almonds and chocolate and peppermint, essentially.
Essentially. Yeah. And so, but this is, I get all these, if anyone's ever interested, on nationaltoday.com. And it's funny because they added all these, like, stats about, and like, polling. One was like, Americans love peppermint bark. We asked 2,000 Americans how they feel about peppermint bark. 53% love it.
There are 330 million people in this country, and you ask 2,000, and we all love peppermint bark now?
And then they have a map of the country, and
where it's pro peppermint bark.
Yeah, which states are more or less pro peppermint bark? So states that love peppermint bark the most: California, 86%.
Wow.
Washington State, 90%. Texas, Oklahoma, 80%. We're 75. Wisconsin is 75% of us love peppermint bark. So there's some fun facts for you today. It is also National Cookie Cutter Day.
Oh, I love that.
Do you know that originally, before they were called cookie cutters, they were called biscuit cutters?
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. But came from England.
Came from, well, kind of.
Oh.
So, some more fun history. Cookie cutters made of ceramic or wood were first actually found in Egypt. In the year 2000 BC.
Come on.
Yeah.
What, were they like sacred cat cutouts or something?
That's a good idea. The cat eyeliner. I don't know. I mean, that's just what it says, that there was something to mold or to cut dough of some sort.
That's fascinating.
Isn't it funny?
Yeah.
And then, but it wasn't until the 16th century that cookie cutters became popular. And it was because of the gingerbread man. Or woman, if you want to get into that
PC
ridiculousness. The gingerbread pattern. So the kings started this custom, and gingerbread cookies were frequently served to Queen Elizabeth I's court. And then once the gingerbread cookies became famous, it was basically people started talking about gingerbread biscuits, and more bakeries around the region in England started using the cookie cutters, making these gingerbread cookies. And then by the 1800s, tin cookie cutters were easy to find at any small shop. And then it got the first biscuit cutter in the United States popped up around 1875. And there you go. Do you have a favorite cookie cutter? Are you a baker?
I do like to bake.
Okay.
And I will get together usually with one of my sisters and nieces, a couple of my nieces, and we will do a Saturday and do some baking. I have my mother's original cookie cutters, and she probably got hers in the 50s, assuming. So there's a reindeer cutout that I really like.
Okay.
It rarely looks like a reindeer.
I was going to say, that's when the intricate cookie cutter,
yeah,
you have to be careful, because mm-hmm, if there's too thin on one side, then all of a sudden there's nubs breaking off and you can't recognize what it's supposed to be. And
we always lose the antlers, and then it looks like a bad dog. And there's an old-fashioned bell-shaped.
Bells, I always feel like, were pretty easy. Like, it's hard to screw up a bell.
Yeah. And it's been pretty easy to decorate, too, because we always find that the first dozen cookies, I'll get really intricate with toothpicks and designing and following all the lines. And by this 37th cookie, you're like, just give me some frosting. I'm throwing some sprinkles on it. We're done.
Just move on.
Wrap it up.
That sounds about how it went in our house, too. But
what about you? Was that a family thing for you?
It was certainly a family thing. And now it's like, I don't know. It's funny how the home ownership marriage thing, all of a sudden, I feel like we're building traditions. So we will be decorating, speaking of national Christmas lights. Debbie Bry is currently at my house. I think she's Christmasifying my house at the moment, but we're decorating the tree tonight.
She's gonna elfify your house.
Oh my God. Well, our house growing up every year, I think I literally heard my brother in the other room while I was prepping for the show today. He's like, Mom, you're like the mother of Christmas. And she goes all out. And so it's always been, like, now that I have a house, I think the desire to decorate in the interior, on the exterior, and get into it and have storage for said Christmas decorations to sit there 11 months out of the year.
Get a colored bin. Get a green or red bin so you know where all the
which
stuff
ones it is. Yeah, yes. Exactly. And so we're certainly starting to build our own traditions for Mike and I, but certainly in our house growing up, Christmas cookies, all the cookies were a thing. But I remember that specifically. It's pretty much what you said. There were certain shapes that were easier to make sure that they kept in their form.
Yep.
There were certain shapes that were more fun to decorate. But then by the end, and it was always messy. You can probably imagine that I am not a kid who colors in the lines, and so I certainly was not a kid who was necessarily good at frosting cookies.
So you weren't doing toothpick art like I was.
No. And it just got everywhere. But yeah, I'm excited. I think tomorrow, as far as getting back to the question of what Christmas spectacles in Southeast Wisconsin do you always try to take in?
Well, there is, and I was thinking about this driving home yesterday, if you head eastbound from Highway 100 on Burleigh.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a golf course that will be on the south side. There is a house on the north side that must have been an old farmhouse that's probably from the late 1880s. They go all out, man. And it's a big two-story. So I'm always really impressed with people who can do the arch, you know, in the front of their house that requires an extension ladder, because that's not easy to do.
It's literally putting your neck on the line for your Christmas lights.
Yes, it is. And they do every single window and just nothing is missed. It's really spectacular. And of course, as you mentioned, Candy Cane Lane in West Dallas has been there forever. I believe Berna Botanical Gardens does something now.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
I might be wrong on that, but I know that there's a big display in Waukesha. And yeah, there's always something to go see.
Yeah, so we want to hear from you. 844-967-2789. What are the big Christmas lights or displays in Rapids or Wausau or Amory? Or I should be able to think. I'm sure the Capitol's all lit up in Madison.
Oh, I would imagine.
But other things in Madison, Richland Center. I'm trying to think of other. Isn't there another thing in the Milwaukee area that is? I'm like the Chinese light displays that are really, it's really beautiful.
Is that for Christmas though?
I thought it was during December.
We'll check.
Which doesn't feel like there's necessarily a Chinese holiday that overlaps with that, but I have to look that up at the break.
We'll check during the break. And we have a cookie text too that we'll come back.
Oh, we'll come back and talk to that. So yeah, we want to hear from you. 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. What are the Christmas displays that you always look forward to that you want to recommend that other people check out and appreciate, because it is National Christmas Lights Day. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about doing stuff for the holidays, traditions, things going on this weekend, as far as National Christmas Lights and all the things that are happening. So stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Devil's Advocates.
Well, if the rapture comes, I hope they take me and leave Dom.
If the rapture comes, we'll be here tomorrow, Mike, taking your calls. We certainly appreciate it. 844-967-2789.
Come on, man. You must mean the royal we.
So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Hey, if you want to go meet your maker, Crudy, don't let me stop you.
I'm your maker, man.
844.
You've already met him.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires. Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries, can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Everyone is entitled to a free credit report from each of the three main credit bureaus once every 12 months. Yet only one in three Wisconsin adults actually obtain the report each year. An easy way to remember to check your report is to simply mark your calendar. Picking dates like February 2nd or 2-2 make it even easier to remember. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and don't forget to keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Place for news, talk, radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. If you don't know that song and why Jane Matinair, in all of her wisdom, would play that song with this topic, it's because it's called Light 'em Up.
It's a great song.
It is a really good song.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about it's National Christmas Lights Day.
Yay.
And so probably at a lot of spots, I think Christmas lights and holiday lights and displays have already been up. But certainly now is the appropriate time that they should all be up. And we're asking you, what's your favorite display in your area in Wisconsin? Is it a singular house? Is it a park? Is it a botanical garden? 844-967-2789. I know the collaborative effort that goes into Candy Cane Lane in Southeast Wisconsin, because it's not, it's just, I feel like it must be part of the contract when you buy a house in that neighborhood.
You got to know what's coming.
You're like, well, this is what we do as a neighborhood. Every single house goes all out, and then thousands of people drive zigzag around the block looking at everyone's house
for the
month of December.
Yes.
And so you don't want to be the one house that decided, well, we're not really into it. What do you do if you move into one of those houses and you're Jewish?
Put up a big light at a menorah.
There you go. All right. Yeah.
I think that would work.
So it is a spectacle, though, to have that much collaborative effort.
And everybody puts up with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody puts up with it. Because it's got to be inconvenient when you want to get out of your own driveway.
Yes. Although that is one of the things that I appreciate. This was not a thing in Madison, I don't think, unless there's certain neighborhoods. But so often in the neighborhoods around Milwaukee, there's the back alley to get to your garage.
True.
Versus needing to back in, like your driveway that backs into a traffic line of Christmas light viewers. And so I don't know if that neighborhood is one of those where at least you have a back way to escape your house.
To your garage.
Yeah.
We had a texter from the 262. Thank you so much for texting in at 844-967-2789. Previous break, we were talking about Christmas cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, my wife makes like 18 different kinds of cookies each Christmas. We give cookie plates to all our friends and family and our kids' teachers. My contribution, bourbon balls.
Ooh.
And some Buckeyes. I don't know what Buckeyes are.
I think they're chocolate covered peanut butter.
Ooh.
And they look like little Buckeye nuts.
Oh, that sounds
really good.
You
know, not to be confused with the Ohio Buckeyes.
That's from Dave in the Shaw.
Thank you, Dave.
He said that the Chinese lights display was in fall. That's what I thought.
Oh, okay. That's why I was like, maybe I'm forgetting this, and it's because it really has nothing to do with Christmas. But one of my friends recently shared a recipe with me for Because I am a big fan of bourbon, as we learned when Steve Palak was here.
And yeah.
He told us the Kentucky Chew, which I do. I still am doing.
Do?
I do.
And it does make a difference.
It does make a difference.
I thought it was a joke when he first explained.
If you missed that episode, radio legend Steve Palak was here before I left for vacation. And he, big bourbon fan. I am a big bourbon fan. And he taught us that the right way to drink bourbon is in your first sip. You have to like swish it around your mouth like it's...
like you're chewing
like mouthwash
something.
Or yeah, like you're chewing something, but also like it's like mouthwash, and that makes every subsequent sip you can actually taste the bourbon versus the alcohol,
and instead of it just burning, mm-hmm. it's smooth.
But I mentioned that because I'm going to try in my limited baking all the extra time I have to bake.
Yes, I'm sure you'll just be whipping up 18 batches of cookies.
Bourbon Rice Krispies.
That should be pretty easy.
Right? I grew up, and I always was a bigger fan of the peanut butter Rice Krispies more than the traditional just marshmallow ones. But I'm interested in trying these out because that sounds very good.
I'm just wondering, those poor Krispies aren't very hardy. Doesn't the bourbon just make them go...
I don't know. I guess,
and they just evaporate.
Well, I'll make them and then I'll bring
and
them
we'll
in.
Find
and
out.
You can find out.
All right.
But I looked up some of the other fun traditions, light displays around the state. So I guess up in Green Bay, it's the Garden of Lights at the Green Bay Botanical Gardens, which looks beautiful. It looks
I
like
bet.
There's a big walkway with a bunch of arches. It doesn't look like you necessarily had to get in a... Anyone had to get on a ladder to put them on, but it's beautiful. And then Olin Park, I forgot that. Olin Park in Madison has a bunch of different light displays of like characters in a Green Bay Packers helmet and stuff. Obviously Riverside Park in Milwaukee near downtown,
oh,
right on. Yeah.
I didn't know they did
that's
that.
That's when I first moved to Milwaukee. I lived right by the Fiserv Center. Fiserv Forum, sorry. And I remember I moved here in October, so it was pretty recently after I had moved. All of those lights go up right on the river, and it was...
That's spectacular.
It was really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin Christmas Carnival of Lights, which happens in... where is this? I don't even know where it says that happens, but Oshkosh has the Celebration of Lights. In Sheboygan, they have Making Spirits Bright. These are just making. This is just making me happy looking at all these pictures. There's Country Christmas in Pewaukee, Holiday Festival of Lights and Jingle Bus in Milwaukee. What's the Jingle Bus?
So you don't have to get cold.
Oh.
So you jump on board the Jingle Bus,
and they just take you to see all of the lights.
I think so.
Oh, that's fun.
And certainly, if you have if you have Munchkins,
yeah. Who get cold and tired.
Them to walk and yeah, so that's a nice way to get around, yeah. And so you can see everything.
The Rotary Winter Wonderland in Marshfield, and Candy Cane Lane in West Dallas, as we already talked about.
There's no excuse if you need a fix on
no.
Christmas lights. You can certainly find it.
The Rotary Botanical Garden Holiday Light Show in Janesville. And so, what do we miss? Let us know. 844-967-2789. Which Christmas light show are you looking forward to that we did not just list off? We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what is American that's super weird to other cultures. All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Shaw 101 FM. From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Hey, Badger fans, heard about the Varsity Collective yet? The Varsity Collective was created by Wisconsin alumni with three goals. First, to help Badger student-athletes maximize their name, image, and likeness opportunities in college and beyond. Second, to support Badger student-athletes in the classroom and life through our mentorship program. And third, to facilitate charitable partnerships throughout the Badger community. The best part, you can be part of it. Learn how to support our Badger student-athletes at thevarsitycollective.com. That's thevarsitycollective.com.
Quality Foods puts you first. No self-checkouts here. Get the groceries you want, bagged, and loaded in your car if you'd like. That's quality service from real people you can expect. Delivery and pickup are available at West Grand. Visit QualityFoodsWisRapids.com. Or if you can't order online, just call West Grand and they'll take it. Don't forget the deli for delicious meats, cheese, salads, and complete hot and cold meals. Quality Foods, West Grand and Baker Drive. Locally owned and putting you and the community first.
You wanted information as election results rolled in and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage. And I listened to you guys and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you. Your local Civic Media radio stations and streaming on the Civic Media app.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10:06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10:06 Mondays with Playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
When a student lacks basic needs like food, clothing, and learning materials, attending school can be a challenge.
And that can make it impossible to thrive.
At Communities in Schools, we address this issue by ensuring that students have everything they need to re-engage in learning.
Access to technology and school supplies.
And even emotional support.
By bringing communities of support to students, we're achieving equitable learning conditions.
And that's what Communities in Schools is all about.
Learn more at communitiesinschools.org.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The Wisconsin Elections Commission certified the results of the November 8th midterm elections with no fanfare on Wednesday, despite false claims in past years of the security of Wisconsin's elections and an increase in the number of poll observers recruited by both parties. The election ran smoothly and with order. WEC Chairman Don Millis, a Republican appointed by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, certified the election results and stated gratitude to clerks across the state for a job well done. A community information session was held in the town of Saratoga on Wednesday, where residents were able to voice their concerns over Alliant Energy's plans to expand solar power across the area. Residents expressed concerns over collected energy being stored in batteries and the risk of fires, as well as weather impacts on solar power collection. Officials state the risk of fire would be constantly monitored and instantly responded to, and the proposed facility could heat 80,000 homes for 4 hours. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Highs level off around 31 this afternoon under mainly sunny skies. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies. Tonight, lows around 26. Daytime highs approaching 43. Tomorrow, cloudy skies. Sunny skies Saturday with daytime highs approaching 20. 33 Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 26.
It feels like that's a website that just has to pump out so much content that they're just constantly
looking
their
for
articles
stuff.
Or stuff that's happening somewhere else. So, you know, I think yesterday, the subreddit that we found, I think I found that on BuzzFeed, but sometimes they're silly and sometimes they're really interesting because I think it is. And in some of these forums where people are sharing experiences, it's fun to be like, oh yeah, that is real. And one of which is, you know, we in America, we have certain ways of doing things. There's stuff that's more regional, like as we're in the holiday season, cannibal sandwiches in Wisconsin. That is debatable. I am not a fan. My husband and my mother really like it.
No kidding.
Really like it. Yeah. But you know, there's some stuff as Americans that we do that in other cultures I think is very weird. Is there one that you can think of, Paul, off the top of your head that he knows? He's just like, why do Americans do this?
He thinks our election cycle is way too long.
Well, I think we all think that.
Yeah. But that's one thing that he comments on frequently.
Well, and it's funny to think of it as you step outside of what you just assume is normal. I remember in my sociology, like 101 class, I think this is a pretty standard exercise for freshmen in college when they take sociology for the first time, and it's like an academic exercise of I forget if it's at NAC, either NASERMA, I forgot how they pronounced it, but it's this like anthropological study of a society, and they start explaining like they use metal to like cut their face and all of these like beauty routines that this culture did. And in reality, the name of the culture or the society is just American spelled backwards. And so it's explaining all of these things that we do in our society.
And which we concern.
Which is just normal. It's shaving your face. Yeah. It's men shaving their face.
Right.
It's women shaving their legs. But putting it in the context of like an objective anthropologist explaining and discovering this culture. And so I was reading this yesterday of what people were saying that they thought was so weird. I was thinking about that exercise of you just assume what your life is normal until you get outside of yourself and you talk to people who don't think that's normal. And some of these are really interesting. So, you know, we live, especially in this state, Badgers, Marquette, actually that's a big game this weekend. As far as they're playing each other, that long-lasting rivalry. But college sports in other countries are not a thing.
At all?
No.
Like, not even soccer?
So college sports, particularly football and basketball, the rest of the world loves soccer, but nobody gives a hoot about it at the university level.
Wow.
In the state, yeah. And so the state, like, I think for a lot of young people, if you're that good, you just go professional. And so there's not this, like, NCAA machine that has created so much money for universities, so much money for bets and all the merchandise and everything, like the entire industry that is created around college sports. Speaking of which, I had a friend send me, so I have a good friend who lives in Chicago. He went to Ohio State. Big. People from the Ohio State, either from Ohio or went to that school, are another level as far as how serious they take their football. He sent me, he's like, this was a little too soon because they lost this last weekend to Michigan. And so
that's their big rivalry.
Yeah. And he's married to a woman who went to Michigan. So that is always a big, I think it's a hectic day in their household, which it's troubling because it's always around Thanksgiving. So I think it sparks some tension. But he sent me this the other day and let me see if I can find it. Because it is so funny that we as a society, not all of us, obviously, but like put this much pressure on 19-year-olds. So he goes, now I can't find it.
That figures.
But it's basically, I'm going to go pout in my basement because the 19-year-old can't perform under pressure of the school that I went to 20 years ago. Which is true. Another thing, bumper stickers.
No one else does that?
The comment here was bumper stickers. Sometimes I get the impression that people put their entire political philosophy in the form of a bumper sticker on their car. I don't know if that's ubiquitous. There's just some people who choose to do that. But I think bumper stickers are maybe more American than they show up in other countries.
That's really interesting because we've traveled all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen graffiti in every place that we've gone. But I don't know that I've seen any bumper stickers. Not even one.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, that really is.
This one you'll probably, ice.
Oh, ice.
Yeah. So the fact that we consistently have ice filled to the brim of a glass before any drink is poured is very much an American thing.
Well,
ice is not as popular or as used as much. And certainly, at least in Europe, but I would imagine in other continents as well.
Why would you want to water down the booze?
Or I guess if you like room temperature water, or water down your soda or whatever it is you're drinking. Yeah, but we like our things cold.
But I think
iced coffee.
Yeah, I know. But that's, I mean, you've had beer in England. And yeah. it's room temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband will vow to the death that it is more fragrant and flavorful than when it's super, super cold.
Well, that's proven, right? Like there is a specific temperature you're supposed to keep wine at, whether it's different for white wine versus red wine. But even red wine should be like, I think most, if I'm getting this right, is supposed to be a little bit cooler, but you can't have it be too cool because that's why if something tastes bad by adding cooler temperature, if you make it colder, it doesn't taste as bad. But I think that works both ways, that it doesn't taste as good if it's colder.
If it's too cold.
All right, so another one, food coloring.
You got to have food coloring for Christmas cookies.
Yes, but I think that it's like in most things. So this person said, when I moved from Japan to the U.S., I was surprised at how colorful American foods were. These days, Americans are now more into organic, natural stuff, so I see it less. But it took me a while to realize that prevalent blue raspberry is not real.
I don't think we understand or realize just how many dyes are in our foods.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and things that are dyed a certain color to look like think about Gatorade. Like, there's no way that just because of the flavoring that's added to Gatorade that it has to be bright red or yellow
or green
or orange.
Yeah.
But yeah, another one, peanut butter and jelly.
They're missing out.
I agree.
They're missing. Peanut butter is one of the greatest things in the world.
I agree. But I wonder if it's peanut butter mixed with there's a different combo. Peanut butter and pickles.
Never tried it.
I've never tried it either.
I keep hearing about it. I might have to go out on the limb and try a peanut butter and pickle sandwich.
I would try it. There's very few things I feel like I wouldn't try.
It's got to be crunchy, though.
Here's one. Stores that are open for 24 hours a day.
Yeah, I guess so.
This person said, I was in Chicago working with a colleague who lived in Switzerland, and he suddenly realized around midnight that he needed a network cable to configure a mobile router for the job the next morning. I told him that I'd meet him in the hotel lobby, and we'd drive out to Walmart. He was shocked.
That the stores were still open.
That you could get something at midnight. And I'm not sure that's true everywhere. Like, I certainly know, depending on the bigger the city you're in, the more likely that things are going to be open later, whether that's restaurants. Like, driving home from... If you go to a Sunday night game in Green Bay, by the time you get back to Milwaukee on a Sunday night, there's no restaurants open. That's not none, but like not many.
Most are closed.
Yeah.
And I think the last couple of years with the pandemic, I think that has changed. I think because they're having a hard time finding staff, I don't know how many 24/7 places are open anymore just because of staffing issues.
Yeah, and that could be. I'm sure in New York it hasn't changed.
Probably not.
City that never sleeps. Chicken and waffles?
Not my thing.
Not my thing either, but that is...
I don't get it.
Yeah, I think... So maybe that's not... I'm trying to think of like the lens of like how much... Like, yeah, that seems very normal, but for someone else, maybe that's not...
Chicken and waffles seems very Southern to me.
So going back to what you said about Paul and the political cycle,
mm-hmm.
Political signs, lawn signs.
They don't do that.
Uh-uh. Signs outside people's houses stating their opinion or belief, such as "In this house, we support." You know, it's like Black Lives Matter. That's one that obviously I think I would put in my lawn. I haven't, but I would. Or like huge Trump flags, or all the like. Please put your lawn sign to show your support. I guess to people not from this country, that is a weird thing.
I think
it is also a weird thing.
I think so too, and I think they still value privacy more than we do. Where America's like, I'm sharing everything with you now.
Yeah.
Whether you want me to or not, I'm going to share it with you because I have to be authentic. So I'm going to spill all my guts.
Yeah.
And I miss the days when we used to hide a few things.
That's interesting. Hmm. All right. Here's a good one, especially in this state. Processed cheese.
You mean processed cheese food?
Yeah, things that are not actual food, like things that are food cheese products, not cheese actual cheese.
Cheese like?
Because that's what the thing, like Kraft singles can't actually, because they're only like 98% cheese.
Oh, what?
So they actually can't be qualified as cheese. They're a cheese product.
We grew up on Velveeta, man. We would have starved without grilled cheese made from Velveeta processed cheese food.
But it's also the non-pasteurized cheese, which you can get in Europe and you can't get here, mostly, right?
I believe so. And unpasteurized milk, too.
Unpasteurized.
That was becoming a big thing, I want to say, in the last decade in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But there are issues around that. I don't know that I would jump into unpasteurized milk.
Yeah. Driving everywhere.
But that's because they have excellent public transportation.
No, I know. But this is just a list of things that people who don't live here, when they visited, saying how weird it was for them when they were like, oh.
To experience.
And here you have to drive a car everywhere.
But don't you think, I think a lot of people who have never visited the States, do not appreciate just how vast it is.
Oh, certainly.
That's like going, when I went to Australia, and you look at a map, and it's like, well, that looks pretty big, but how big can it be? It's humongous.
Yeah.
And it's just perspective. It's hard to get that perspective unless you're actually there.
I had that lesson, I forgot there was a trivia question, and what is the biggest island? And at first I said Australia. They're like, well, it's not considered an island. It's a continent.
It's a continent.
And so the answer is Greenland. And I was like, well, how much bigger can Australia be than Greenland? It's a lot bigger. I looked it up. It's like twice the size.
Yeah, it's huge. It really is huge.
You're like, this is probably not the proportions that you think it is.
I bet 9 Greenlands would fit in Australia.
I don't think it's 9. I think it was about double.
Okay.
But it was, I think in my mind, it was closer than it actually ended up being.
Yeah, it's a big place.
But then this one's interesting, which it's not surprising, but it's interesting. Commercials about pharmaceuticals. In other countries, they don't advertise drugs that you can take.
And that's really smart.
It is smart.
But think how short commercial breaks would be on, well, you probably don't watch network news, but I do. What would all the erectile dysfunction manufacturers do if they couldn't constantly talk about it on television?
Yeah, you can solve your problem.
Which, again, is...
ask your doctor.
Is oversharing.
I always thought about that. I actually didn't book any commercials while I was out in L.A., I auditioned for some, but I never, which is kind of a bummer because at least back then, like you could make a lot. If you have one national commercial, like that was a...
Oh, you were set.
That was a salary. Like yeah. That was an annual salary.
Oh, yeah.
And it was always funny to me when you think about the actors who get like the STD commercials or the erectile dysfunction commercials. And like, you're like, where are you in your career? You're like, yep. I'm willing to be that guy.
I could do that.
Pay me.
Do that. Exactly.
I'll do it.
I need the money.
Ranch dressing, which I think Charlie Barron's confirmed that when he said he went to London, and he's like, you can't really find ranch anywhere.
But my husband, who is English, eats this disgusting salad cream.
Salad dressing?
No, it's called salad cream.
Okay.
And I think it's like mayonnaise, but not.
Well, mayonnaise is much more popular in Europe, like fresh mayonnaise.
But
mayonnaise is popular here, but like the difference of... I think that especially in French, who would see our like tub of Hellmann's and be like, that's not mayonnaise. Mayonnaise is something that you make fresh and you dip your fries in. Like,
right.
That is, I don't know what that is. I don't want that.
Yeah, but I'm not taking any criticism about ranch dressing with a salad cream issue.
All right. Well, that was a fun recollection of things that we do that doesn't happen other places. And that's okay.
Sure. But you have to embrace who we are.
You embrace who you are, but also embrace other cultures and the things that they do that are different. All right, well, we're at the end of the show almost. We're going to take...
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Aho, Wisconsin. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, a new Native American theme show live weekdays from 6 to 7 p.m. on Devil Radio 92.7. Each day, activists and newsmakers will provide updates on protecting Mother Earth. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. We invite all people to walk hand in hand with our struggles, victories, and achievements. Join us for our Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake weeknights at 6 p.m. on Devil Radio 92.7.
Need help paying for health care? As a health insurance navigator, my job is to help people find affordable or low-cost options. Call the 211 helpline to find an expert near you or go to wiscovered.com. Paid for by Covering Wisconsin.
When you shop Goodwill, you don't just bring home a vintage dress or cat lamp. You bring home so much good to your community because everything you buy funds local job training and more. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM. K540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Kind of the unofficial theme throughout the show today.
Yeah. You want to say it?
Little Fleetwood Mac. Christine McVie from Fleetwood Mac died yesterday, 79 years old. I didn't realize she was that old.
How does that mean they're all probably around late 70s, early 80s?
I looked up everybody because I thought that Mick Fleetwood was the oldest, and actually Christine was the oldest at 79.
Okay.
Mick, I think, is 75. Lindsey Buckingham is 73, and Stevie Nicks, is, I think, is 72.
Okay. So she was, I mean, they're all kind of the same age range. But,
yeah. But what a very influential in my teenage
really?
Years growing up. Oh, Fleetwood Mac was huge. I saw them at the Old County Stadium back in the day with Kenny Loggins. It was great. And Stevie Nicks, who didn't love the Welsh Witch.
I know. I love, I mean, still to this day, Stevie Nicks' voice is just...
There's nothing else like it.
Oh, God. And, you know, it's such an interesting thing to the people. And they kind of, you know, I don't think Christine McVie has done much. I mean, I guess every once in a while they've done like a reunion concert, haven't they?
She did some solo stuff, too.
Yeah, but like in the last...
In the last decade, no.
No.
I think she was... I had read an article with her a number of years ago that she was living life in the English countryside and having a good time. Probably still writing songs because she was always a very prolific songwriter.
Yeah. And, but you know, it's just like the reflection point of people you maybe haven't thought about in a while, but then you think back and you're like, oh, they impacted my life.
Mm-hmm.
The songs that the concerts I saw are the songs that they wrote and, or if it's an actor, the movies that they were in.
Who do you remember from your teenage years? That was impactful musically.
Ani DiFranco.
It's so rebellious.
Yeah. It's funny because I don't think... That's an artist who I don't... I think she's still making music.
Not very prominently,
but
though.
Not very prominently. But that probably is a lot of... Very telling. The range of my music was like Ani DiFranco and then...
Show tunes. Yes, there's... Wide range there, Ani DiFranco and Rent.
It was fun. I just now I'm having like flash memories of, well, I saw her at the Orpheum when I was 15 or 16. And that was just, I just remember, because she is a unbelievable lyricist. And she's a poet, right? And she's a poet who can sing. But she just I think that was very much out of like the Lilith Fair feminist musician era of a very different, not like Spice Girls kind of girl power, but
right.
For lack of a better word, I think there was so much of my own political beliefs that I found inside of her music that now I probably will listen. That's probably what I will listen to on my drive home today. Because again, like you haven't thought about it in a long time. And it's not like she's come out with a ton of new music. And if she has, it hasn't come across my iPhone. But certainly if there was one person that I probably listened to the most that had the biggest impact on me as a teenager, it was her. For sure.
Cool.
I didn't even thought about that.
Yeah.
Thank you for helping me bring back that memory.
Just dredging up some old memories.
I'm trying to think of who else. I mean, certainly Dave Matthews Band, but I feel like I just liked his music. I'm not sure it made it like it formed anything about how I saw the world or like had like lyrics that moved me so much that I was like, oh, like things that it was no Defying Gravity, which I almost got tattooed on my body, as I've mentioned before.
How did you manage to talk yourself out of this?
I don't know. I have an entire, this is, because I have one singular tattoo, and I think I've told that story before, that it is, it's a compass rose that I drew that is on the top of my foot. It's very dainty, but it is indeed backwards.
This is why you gotta be careful.
But I have an entire secret Pinterest board of different tattoos that I wanted at some point that I was contemplating. There was like a lotus flower at one point. I think there was a hummingbird. There was different quotes. And I never pulled the trigger on any of them, which I think speaks to my lack of decisiveness. But certainly, my brother always tells a story. He's like, you got that one tattoo. And I was so nervous that, you know, because once you get one, you just get more and more. He's like, I just thought you were going to be covered. I'm so happy that you're not covered in tattoos. And I was like, thanks, Ben. But yeah, I just have the one. I probably will only have the one. But at one point, there was many more I was going to get.
Pinterest board.
Maybe I'll show it to you someday, Jane.
One of my sisters and I had this discussion, and it was the big trend to get a saying in Mandarin Chinese.
Yes.
To get a tattoo in Mandarin Chinese. And I said, Suzanne, I said, do you think Chinese people are getting tattoos in Lithuanian, which is our background? No, I don't. And if you want to have some esoteric phrase tattooed on your body, then at least have it in Lithuanian. No one's going to know the difference anyway.
I don't want to out her, but there is a person in my life who has a Chinese symbol and I think she thought it meant like to restart or to be new beginnings. I think it was
rebirth.
And finally someone translated it for her who actually does speak Mandarin. And they're like, yeah, that means to be birthed.
Whoops.
Or something. It was close, but not quite.
Yeah. You gotta be careful when it's a symbol like that. Yeah, it's a tricky language.
Maybe, but who knows? I mean, I knew what the compass was supposed to be, and I wasn't paying attention enough to see that they flipped the transparent paper, that the north is not where it should be.
Whoops. I'm just going to do, yeah.
You have zero, right?
I have zero. Maybe I'll do happy birthday in Lithuanian and just confuse people for the rest of my life.
Do you just speak any Lithuanian?
No.
No. Do you speak any other languages?
I speak a little Spanish. I speak a very little Russian.
Really? What can you say in Russian?
Budget.
What does that mean?
I have no idea.
So you can't really see it. You know a word.
No, I mean, I know a couple. Yes. And Zdravstvuyte, which I believe is hello. And Das Vedanya. Нет
is a good one.
So yeah, but if I'm around Spanish speakers long enough, I will start picking it up.
Mm-hmm.
But I think understanding it is easier than speaking it, depending upon how fast they're speaking.
I think that's in general. I think there's that divide between understanding something and then knowing how to actually speak it. And that's the truth for anyone who actually can not only multiple languages, but when you are born and raised in a certain country and then you come, whether it's you move and you have to learn a new language as an adult and then you succeed in your, like the people who can do that.
It's a gift.
Oh my gosh. Cause I tried to learn French. That is a hard language. And I would never even got close. There was like vocabulary that I could maybe pick up when people were speaking, but I was like, this is a lost cause.
Don't you wish we had started in childhood, you know, when you're soaking in all of that knowledge?
Absolutely.
Would have been a little easier.
A little easier. All right. Well, that'll do it for us on this December 1st. We'll be back tomorrow. Lots of guests tomorrow. But this has been a fun show. A little easy. Easier way back in after 2 weeks off. But thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Sometimes I can't help but feel that I'm wasting all of my time.
Mm-hmm. Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full-time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5.